I don't share anything that I am not doing or have not tested myself. And I have wasted my own time. I have wasted my own energy, my own resources to cut the time on other busy business owners. Welcome to the Jasmine Star Show, a place where we talk about life, business, and everything on the in-between. Today's episode is recording from a coaching session with three members of Social Curator. Now, if you don't know what Social Curator is, it is my monthly membership site for business owners that gives them the tools to build their brand on social media. And yes, y'all, it includes juicy things like lifestyle photos, customizable caption templates, and a monthly action plan and a community to hold everybody accountable. I do coaching on the inside of the group, but I'm going to give you a sneak peek of what happens so you could see it on the outside. Let's dive into my session with Connor, Jasmine, and Tom.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Connor. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for the invite, first off. But my name's Connor Watkins. I am 29 years old, and I am a social media and digital marketing consultant who gives South Carolina business owners easy to use tips and strategies to grow their business. So I'm kind of in the discovery phase. I'm like everybody else here who is kind of in the bigger parts of their business, but because I have a full-time job as a marketer at the local Chamber of Commerce here in Lexington, South Carolina. So I'm starting off small, kind of generating some content, but I really wanted to know, as a social media consultant, what questions do you ask yourself when you are pricing your services? And I know that with something like consulting, there is a little bit of a ceiling based on the amount of time and energy and effort that you have to put into each client. But what questions do you ask yourself? Like, it'd be nice to like have a matrix of even questions that you could say, you know, how much time, how much effort, what kind of knowledge is required for the needs of the client. But yeah, what do you go through when pricing services for your business?
Okay, so I'll get into like the practical applicable tips, but like I'm just going to deal it to you straight. You ain't worth what the market's not going to pay. Like I can give you 1,000 questions and you could feel like really good and you could journal and you could like have like a little like smoke therapy session and align your chakras and feel so good about the work you did to find your price. It don't matter if the market's not going to pay. So first things first is yes, you will do the work and we'll chat about doing the work. But in all actuality, there has to come with a big dose of humility that you can set your prices. And then you have to know you could readjust those prices if the market isn't there. Furthermore, it can work opposite. You could do all the work and then you're like, okay, I feel good about this. And all of a sudden you're in it. And then you realize I am so wildly underpaid for the results that they're getting. And guess what? You change it. So the beauty in all of this is that there's a level of humility that will come as a result of you really at the end of the day, not knowing how to price yourself. And that's totally okay. So remove any sort of stigma or worry, because I can tell you, Connor, that if I said, hey, you got to charge $87 per hour, or if I said you got to charge $8.70 per hour, we don't know the opposite. Like, we don't know what would have happened if you would charge more or less. So having that as the foundation of saying nothing I do is set in stone, I am a perpetual amoeba, always changing shape with what I learn and the information I get, that I empower myself to start low and go high. Because that's my first point of like recommendation. I have always started businesses knowing I was low. Why? I prefer to be busy and build my brand than to start a feeling that I was being properly compensated. It's like a flip of the script and understanding that I will charge a premium. And Connor, I have no doubt you will charge a premium. I have no doubt that your success is a foregone conclusion. And I don't say that just to everybody. I believe it because of the time and the amount of energy in how you're showing up and what you're doing now as being the social media manager consultant for your city of chambers in Lexington. Okay. That alone already puts you ahead of so many people who are just like, I think social media management is like what I want to do, you know, like that, my friend, is totally different approach. So first things first, you can do a market assessment of what other social media managers are charging. That would be fair. That's cool. But again, social media managers along the coast will probably make a little bit more, not because they're more talented, but because their living expenses are higher. Right. So I can tell you, I can save you time. Inside of the social curator, we had a PR maven come in. She has a PR agency. She also does social media. And she says industry standard would be somewhere in the ballpark of $15 to $35 an hour, 15 on the low end, when it's just literally somebody's like responding to comments or like surfing hashtags and leaving comments on that person's behalf. Now, I know that you're saying, I want to be a social media consultant, which is different than being a social media manager. I get that. But a lot of times, because the market is so new, and Connor, you're like, the market isn't new. I'm saying the market is so new for people who are investing in social media consultants that they're probably going to want to put you in the same type of category. Now, you could also price yourself out according to project, and you can estimate, I think, that this project, this consulting project, will take 8 hours. And then you say, you know what? I really want to make $50 an hour. Great. You think it's going to take 8 hours? You want to charge 50? Do the math. That's what you present to them. They take it or they leave it. It doesn't matter, because you know what it would have been worth to you. Now, if you go into that and they decide to pay you, it's only going to go one of two ways. Way number one, you finish the work faster than you had anticipated and you were more profitable. And you're like, dude, I can do this all day, every day. I already have a case study and a testimonial. This is what I'm worth. It can go the opposite way of you being like, whoa, I estimated 8 hours and it ended up taking me 20. I ended up making $18 an hour. I never want to do this again. Great. Raise your prices. Like, you didn't lose. All you did was win. And I don't know if you're familiar with that rap song. Like, I turn my L's into W's and then I make M's. Okay. Like, I just feel like that's how this is like the approach that I want you to take. There's zero pressure. Connor, I want you to do the inner work. I want you to say, you know what? I really don't want to get paid less than $30 an hour. Great. Start there. Let the market take it from there. And if I were you, consultants don't really charge per hour necessarily. They put together like packages or options. Yes, exactly. So put it together, like do the work, say this is the minimum, this is what I think I can do. And then knock off a little. Say if they book before a certain date, they get 10% off. If they get this collection before a certain date, well, then you'll upgrade them to the second collection. Right? I'm not necessarily saying start low, but incentivize people to consider your pricing as time sensitive so they get a bonus. You want to make sure that they make the decision then and there, especially as you're new and you're building your clientele.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions to like close it out? Because remember, I don't want to just talk about things esoterically. Like, what is Connor going to do?
Right. I guess my last question would be, I mean, going through this, I'm kind of just starting. I kind of have a little bit of imposter syndrome that I have to deal with sometimes. And I know that that is such an elementary question, but that's kind of what I'm dealing with right now as well, just because I see so many people doing the things that I do. And it's a little bit difficult for me being kind of behind the camera, as it were, doing stuff for a business, but now I'm doing stuff with myself as the forefront. How do you overcome that?
Oh, I mean, I'm basically the captain of the imposter syndrome cheer squad. Okay. Like, I have the varsity jacket and everything. Our biggest enemy is ourselves. There's nobody who doubts us more than we doubt ourselves. Mm-hmm. That is a blessing if we choose to see it as a blessing. Because if we could talk ourselves through that, nothing that anybody else could ever say will ever make us doubt it. So I'm saying to you, for you to ask yourself the question, who am I not to be a social media consultant? Every morning, who am I not to be a social media consultant? Who am I not to hear 10,000 no's and get my single yes? Who am I not to stand in front of somebody and give a pitch believing that they are getting more value than what they are paying? Every morning I ask myself, who am I not to be the CEO of a $30 million company? I'm not making $30 million. I will. And I have to tell myself every morning, who am I not to be that person? And then if we were to strip it away, let's get down a little bit more like granular. Somebody had given me great advice. I was actually early on when I started speaking about social media, like, you know, I was speaking strongly to photographers, videographers, creatives, graphic designers. Like, that was my niche. I went so deep in that niche. And when I started getting invited to speak on other stages in different industries, my initial answer was no. Like, I don't know if this works outside of creatives. I don't know. And so for a while it was no, until I said, who am I not to stand on that stage? I was invited to speak to 2,000 Amazon resale specialists. They wanted to know about marketing. And I was like, I don't know anything about Amazon resale. Like, who am I there to? So I started going around asking people who were doing like marketing and ads for Amazon products. Like, I did the work to prepare myself to speak like that. And you want to know what everybody said? Hey, Jasmine, can you tell me how to do this? And I was like, why are you asking me? I'm here to talk to you about it. And here was the thing. We look around and we think that there are people who know more than we do. And let me break it to you. There are. But you want to know what? Which is the thing that somebody said. He said, Jasmine, if you know 10% more about what it is you're talking about than anybody else in the room, you deserve to be on that stage. And I was like, dang. So Connor, the question I tell you is, do you know 10% more than the people you are trying to pitch your services to? If the answer is yes, you belong in that dang room. And you better walk in there every time you walk in that room. Who am I not to be standing in the front of this room? That's it. Because here's the thing. If you know 10% more than them and you increase their marketing endeavors on social media by 10%, you're a freaking gangster, homie. Never back away from that. Never. Never.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that a lot.
I appreciate you. And I can't wait for you to put together your collections. I call them collections. I think that's fancy. Whatever, your pricing guide, your bundles, whatever you call it. And when you do, I want you emailing me and I want to see it. And I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm not going to say anything about it. So know that I'm not going to think it's good, bad, or ugly. I want to see it done. That's it.
Okay.
And then you start pitching it.
Okay. I can do that.
Good. Connor, how can people find you on social media?
Sure. It's Connor B. Watkins, C-O-N-N-O-R-B Watkins on Instagram.
I love that. Thank you, friend. Appreciate you.
So my name is Jasmine Shea. I am the founder of Your Dinner is Planned, which is the fastest and most affordable way for busy families to get healthy dinners on the table. I do that through a membership site, which is also an app where we provide weekly dinner recipes and grocery lists.
Ugh, you know I love this stuff. You know yes. I love this stuff. Yes. Yes. Well, healthy food, like brain food. I love
yes.
it. Okay. So what's your question?
So the intention behind my question is, I also have a membership site and my question is going to be about retention, and our retention is around 92-93%. But what we see between launches is the retention is much lower right after a launch when the initial crew leaves. So my question is, as a social curator member, I see the incredible things you are doing to make us feel welcomed and valued. And what would you say are the top three things you've implemented to increase member retention? And or what advice do you have to cultivate that member experience between those launches?
I absolutely like love this question. And if you would give me a couple minutes to just, after being the CEO of Social Creator for 2 years, I've done a lot of work and speaking to other people who have membership sites as well. So I'm just going to spitfire a few things that have really set the foundation and grounding for what to expect, because it's so easy to look around and say other people may or may not be doing a better job, or maybe other people know something that I don't know. So I'm just going to spitfire real quick a few things that have really added a lot of grounding when it comes to retention. On average, for memberships, this is including big memberships like Prime, Netflix, but also much smaller scale, is that smaller scale things like memberships like you and I are doing is around 4 months on average. And so you will see a couple things that people will offset. If 4 months is average for people to stay within a membership, you will see an email or an offer or a promo around month three that incentivizes somebody with another unexpected bonus or discount to extend into an annual membership. That's something that I have been thinking about but have not yet deployed, because we are over the 4 month hump, which I'm really excited about, but it wasn't always like that. Like, I, to be 100% candid, there are times when I would look at my husband and business partner and I would say, we're bleeding members. We are trying to put a Band-Aid over a bullet wound. You know, I can be very dramatic. I'm not gonna lie. I can be dramatic. But that was like a real wake-up call to understand what was the missing gap. So when it comes to retention in a membership, there are going to be a few main components. Number one, what is the customer journey? Like, how does that person know that they got what they wanted to get from the membership? And or how do we foster the desire to keep that person there longer to extend the journey? So one of the things that we did is people would come in and they would say, huh, I feel better about writing my captions. I feel better about knowing the photos I need to share. And I feel pretty confident about my marketing plan. Bye. Because they didn't know what was the things that they were supposed to do. And so we took a step back and we created a 5-step system to being a social curator. These are the 5 different stages of being a social curator. So we're going to know when you take a quiz, and the quiz is like 2 minutes. You take this 2-minute quiz and it automatically places you in a category. And then all of a sudden you see all 5 categories and maybe you're in category 2. Now you have a distinct path to changing your behavior to get ultimately to where you want to go. Now our highest stage level is like somebody who has over 20,000 followers, who is consistently doing Instagram lives and Facebook lives, who has like a social media manager. Like, this is aspirational for somebody to have a business, have the followers they want and the confidence that they want to build their business on social. So in your particular case, you have families, I'm guessing busy and somewhat affluent families, who can come in and say, I want done for you meal solutions and a shopping list. But what I think you're mostly selling isn't the resources. What you're selling is time and health.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so if you know those 2 things, you want to make sure that you communicate that again and again and again. And you will see me on the inside say to social curator, you're not here for the captions and you're not here for the photos. What are you here for? Mm-hmm. Time. Time and a strategy. I don't share anything that I am not doing or have not tested myself. And I have wasted my own time. I have wasted my own energy, my own resources to cut the time on other busy business owners. So that needs to become the messaging on the inside of the group. So 1, where are you at? And you could start identifying if your dream customer, or predominantly most of your members are female, and you think most of them are moms, start speaking to that need specifically. And you can categorize the types of moms or the types of shoppers that are there. And then what you want them to do is you want to showcase them what is like that top level 5 shopper. Is that, I'm just guessing hypothetically, the person who already has their shopping list done on Amazon Prime and gets their groceries delivered every single Friday? Like, you're going to come into the busy, frazzled mom who's like stage 2 and be like, I would love to get Sam Cart delivered my groceries. I would love to print out Jasmine's, and here I am saying, for listeners, like, if you, in case you missed it, her name is Jasmine too. So I would love to get Jasmine's list. I would love, for you to streamline what that would look like for them to say, every Friday, I get my groceries delivered. I already know the meals next. That's going to be the aspirational model. And then you have to have like what we have put on the inside to really help retention is what we call a momentum booster. And this is just a cool, sexy branded word for accountability, right? Like, social curator is worthless if people aren't using it. And like, all we have to do, we, you and me, as membership owners, is get people to take action. Our job, our singular focus, is to create action. So the momentum booster is changing every single month on the inside of Social Curator. We have like a 30-day Facebook engagement plan. We have a 10-day Instagram story challenge. We have a copywriting challenge coming up, right? So we're like, only thing that we want to do is take any action, messy action, scary action, wonky action, just take action so that we have a form of measurement. So this would be for you to take action. Is that buying? Is that making? Is that planning? Is that meal prepping? Whatever it is. So you have that. And then we also introduced something called the Productivity Power Hour, because we were realizing that if people weren't ready for the momentum booster, they were never going to do the momentum booster. So we peeled back another layer. Productivity Power Hour, people come in and we say, give us 1 hour and you will have a week of content planned. So then if we know that they're doing a week of content, then we know that they're ready for the momentum booster. So what we have discovered is keeping people longer than the traditional 4 months has been aspirational. What is the customer journey? Where, and they need to know, where are they? And at the end, how do they identify? I've made it to the end. This is the success. And then 2, any action on behalf of your membership will increase the odds of them staying, because they say, oh, I finally got use out of what I'm paying for. So those 2 things have been so transformative. And then 3rd one, which I wouldn't say is applicable to every membership, but I can speak distinctly to Social Curator, has been the fact that there are people who tell me quite often, Jasmine, you know, I don't use your photos and I don't use the captions and I'm just so busy. I'm really only using about like 1-5% of the marketing plan. But I stay because I spend 5 minutes every day in the Facebook group and I get to see what other people are doing in their businesses and I'll have a light bulb moment. And that light bulb moment was enough for me to make the investment 10 times worth it. So in our particular situation, the fact that people are gleaning 5 minutes a day to make them feel, whether or not they deploy against what they learned, is neither here nor there. They just feel like they've done something more. And this is something I've discovered that memberships have really like light me up because they're really difficult. And so I want to share everything I know and not hide anything because I'm just like, yo, we are the few, the hungry and the crazy to voluntarily say membership. I love this scary beast of a roller coaster that it is. So I will say that when it comes to action is that for better or for worse, action is behavior and action is thought. So science has shown that when people think they're taking an action, it's the same dopamine hit as if they took the action itself. So sometimes, I'm not even coming from a place of judgment. I will watch those 60-second Instagram cooking videos and I think, I can do that. It's as if I made that frittata and I did nothing but watch it.
It's so, like every scroll in Pinterest is like a dopamine hit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's the thing. We're not here to sit in judgment of the way that the brain works or behaviors. We're here to understand that if that is a psychology, how can you replicate, duplicate that on the inside of your membership so that you are just putting up ghetto fabulous iPhone videos to be like, okay, here are 16 plastic trays. I'm going to use 4 meals and I'm going to meal plan 16 ways. And you just keep that video up. And you show them in real time that people will watch. And then you could speed it up a little bit. And you could say, total duration, 37 minutes, 16 meals. You can do this. People watch and be like, I could totally do that. And just by them watching it, they feel that they can do the same. And then your objective is to give them the solution, which is your meal planning and your shopping list. It's to show you taking action to make them believe that they too can do that. It's to give the other members space to act as testimonials. I did meal planning that Jasmine suggested and it took me 57 minutes and I only got 12 meals done, but oh my God, I got 12 meals done. Like it's to show that it's working for other people. And then it's to create that aspirational journey. Where are they and how do they get to the next level? Followed up by an action accountability process every single month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is so good. And I imagine this is applicable for those even without a membership site, because what this is really inspiring me to do is take a look at where we've kind of become stagnant in what we're offering because it's repetitive and it's every month and it was working. But now how can we take where they're at and where they aspire to be, which is where you were talking about in the stages, which I absolutely love, and create very specific actions, behavioral based actions every month, every week, whatever it may be. So this is amazing. And it has me very excited to also check in with them and see where they need the most support beyond just the kind of mundane, repetitive engagement type tasks that we're already doing. So
I love that. And just to kind of close this out is like, I want to keep myself accountable because I don't ever want to come to you and be like, so I got it together. This is what we're doing. This has taken us 2 years to get to this point. But we also know that the minute we had our members self-identify what stage of curator they were, what we now want to do, a next big objective, which will likely take us into 2020, is to create segmented group conversations based on stage and industry. Because the minute people feel like they're getting exclusive conversations to other entrepreneurs in their same stage and or in industry, that becomes a total anchor to what's going to keep them in the group, specifically for those like deeper industry specific and stage specific conversations. So something to think about, that the minute you identify your grouping of people, putting them in the same conversations to help them have conversations without being intimidated, I think it'll be a game changer, or at least we hope it'll be a game changer for us too.
Great. And we're not doing anything like that. And I love this. And I know it's taken time, but the way I see this is simply just a lot of opportunities, because even if we get them one step further than they would have been without this, then they're already closer to where they aspire to be.
I love it. I love it. How can people find you on Instagram?
My Instagram is Your Dinner Is Planned for Your Dinner Is Planned. And my personal Instagram is also Jazzy Things, JazzyThings.
I love that. Thank you, doll. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Jasmine. I am Tom Merle. How are you?
I'm doing really well, friend. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
So for context, I help people to storytell on social media and Facebook ads so they can make an impact and an income doing what they love.
I love this intro, but explain it to me like I'm five. You storytell. Do you do copywriting? Do you do ads? Are you a digital agency?
What is the connection, how they start to storytell on those?
Yeah, like what do you, so tell me, like, what do you actually sell? Like, what can I buy from you? Because you're so sweet and endearing. I just want to give you my credit card, but I need to know what I'm buying.
Well, the first step would be to just engage with my brand in general. So
attaboy, that's the right answer. Okay. Already storytelling. Okay.
So I hope in terms of legacy or long-term in the relationship that I'm just adding value in terms of education, confidence, courage, and community. And then if it aligns and you want to purchase one-on-one coaching, group coaching, or I can do it all for you and manage your social media and Facebook ads.
Got it. Okay, so good. What is your question? I love this.
So my question is, when you have a product slash service slash, you know, some sort of, let's just call it a product and lump it into one. When you have a product that's not performing as well as you'd hoped or it used to, how do you decide between, and I'm going to give some converging pathways. How do you decide between saying, the product sucks, I need to develop that. The product is good and I need to improve the sales process. Or both are good and I just need patience. Or lastly, I need to bless and release this so I can move on to the product that I'm really being called to do. So how do you decide between those next steps?
So we'll start with the basics. Is okay. That the market is never wrong. Mm-hmm. Like if it's not selling or is it hasn't sold the way that it has in the past, the market's telling you one of two things. They don't want the product or they don't currently like the way that the product is packaged. Mm-hmm. Now, the only way you get to determine the true answer is if you take the time to repackage and try it again. But after the second time, if you did your best and it's not selling, then it's time to bless and release. Because the market has spoken clearly. Now, the objective would be to understand why somebody would need the product you're selling to begin with. Because at the end of the day, let's just say, for example, I was a fitness professional and I was selling a weight loss plan. And I could think that the thing I'm selling is a fast path to losing 10 pounds of stubborn belly fat. I know I'm not selling the path to losing weight. What I'm actually selling is the path to self-acceptance. Because oftentimes on the inside of Social Curator, we talk about what are we selling from a literal perspective and what are we selling from an emotional perspective. Now, you know, as a chief storyteller, that emotion is the main reason people buy. So when it comes time to repackage, what I want you to do is not just sell the literal thing. You have to sell it to an emotional perspective that's speaking to someone's inner desires and unspoken needs. And I think you're really well set to do something like that.
Mm. I appreciate that. Should I provide some specifics or context?
Yeah, let's dive in. Yes, please.
Question beneath the question.
Yes.
So for context, I was running a large Facebook ad sequence is like 10, 12 different ads at one time. And I got a lot of great data and clarity in sales through that. What I then did is I was advice from, I don't know if you know Amanda Bond. So I was a part of her group and a part of your group. And both advices I was getting at the same time was take it to the DMs. So that was like your June issue, I believe. And that was also when she was saying it. So I don't know if y'all linked up, but it was advices at one time.
Like, homie, great mind.
So I was doing maybe, I don't know, 100 DMs a week, having real conversations. A lot of people, I was like, hey, I'm waiting for my wife to get something. I can hop on the phone with you for 5 minutes. And so I was doing that over and over again every week. And what I really started to find that people wanted was the management of their Facebook ads and social media, that they didn't necessarily want the coaching. They didn't want the group coaching. They didn't want the online courses. They wanted that. So over the course of late June, early July, I built up that part of my team to launch that. And now that's taking off like crazy. And I guess I'm looking for like giving myself permission to call each of the people in my group coaching and say, I think it's time for me to bless and release this because this is the part of my agency that's actually taking off and this part is stagnated. And so like, that's the part that's keeping me up at night.
Tom, I'm so glad you gave that insight because what I want to do is I want to give you permission to take the head off that thing. Mm. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. Oh, I hear it. Your heart, it did you well. It did you so well. It was the vehicle that got you to where you are today. So instead of letting it die a slow and long death at the risk of selling somebody's taste and or reputation, nothing would mean more to your coaching clients than for you to say, you have done me so well. You have empowered me. As a result, if you would like to continue with the agency work that I'm doing, because you came with me from the beginning, I will give them something, anything. And then you give them a decision that you've respected what they've done for your career. You're giving them a little back scratching and say, if you want to transition over here, this is where I'm going. But the greatest gift that you can give yourself in your business is a singular focus on a profit driver within your structure that gives you life. And that is scalable. Good Lord, have mercy. Bless and release. Thank those who brought you to where you are, but it's time to leave that party. Bojo.
Amen.
Ah, your Facebook ads. Okay. I absolutely love it. Is there anything else that we can do to like make sure that you feel good about this or where you at?
No, I think that you nailed it. That was, I guess it was an alignment of this moment right here, having the amazing Jasmine give the permission that was already within me. I guess, how do you then overcome that feeling of, am I leaving money on the table by shutting this down? Like, I think that's maybe a scarcity mindset that's still creeping up within me that's saying, oh, if I shut this down, this might have been the gateway for, you know, a bunch of people that would have been into my funnel, but now it's gone. And so I only now have two high priced tickets. So what is that, you know, in-depth way?
No, don't apologize. I'm just Puerto Rican and I cut people off from talking. It's very rude, but you know I love you when I cut you off because I care about you so much. I'm like, let's just get to where we're going. At the end of the day, it takes just as much energy for you to believe that you're leaving money on the table as it does for you to say the time that I am freed up from my group coaching will land me other clients that will bring in revenue that my team can handle. The choice is yours. You can choose to believe you're losing something, or you could choose in the equal breath to say, I'm gaining something. And at the end of the day, you can choose to say that I have lost something, or you could say I have gained something. You can just say, I am choosing to gain something really great. Now, I don't know how that gain is going to manifest itself, but I'm choosing to believe in the gain. And I am telling you, the minute you open yourself up, there's a dam of emotional reservoir that's leaving people like you feel responsible and you don't want to leave money. And the minute you release that dam, something else comes in because you have a vacuous space in your soul and your heart and your business, and it will be filled by whatever you allow it to be filled with. More coaching clients that are not scalable and it's just kind of there, or more ads customers who have scalability, build trust, and you could streamline. The choice is yours.
I mean, you nailed it.
good friend, I appreciate you. I am rooting for you. Please keep me posted when the time is right and when you start to scale on the thing you know you can call to do.
I appreciate that. I will. Thank you.
Oh, wee, y'all, man, that was a juicy conversation. We covered everything from pricing, memberships, and even dove into a little bit of that scarcity mindset we feel when we're removing a revenue source. Now, I have to give credit to where credit is due. To learn more about Connor, Jasmine, and Tom, head over to the show notes, and you can find them at jasminestarpodcast.com and check out episode 2. Now, I don't know about you, but I think the biggest lesson after this coaching session was to remember that it takes just as much energy to have a negative mindset as it does to live in abundance. If you're struggling with shifting your mindset, I would love to invite you to download my free Mindset Makeover Workbook, and you can find it for free at jasminestar.com/mindset. It includes 5 crucial mindset shifts you need to make to succeed in business. And it also includes a powerful exercise that changed everything for me and a corresponding video to watch whenever you're feeling lost. Hey, I want to be here for you. And you can find that again at jasminestar.com/mindset. And of course, we will link it in the show notes and the episode description for you to grab too. Okay, friends, that's a wrap. We've officially closed episode 2. I feel like I'm kind of sort of getting the gist of this podcasting thing. Although, let's be real, not really. So if you want to still go on this journey with me, and of course, it would mean so much, I will catch you in episode 3 with my good friend, Amy Porterfield. And yes, she's going to be interviewing my husband and my business partner, JD. Together, she's going to ask us really amazing, uncomfortable, funny, hilarious, and wildly entertaining questions because that's how Amy rolls. I am excited to get to know you better, and I cannot wait for you to tune in. Have a good one.